Welcome to TAC Talks, a podcast where we unpack the standards for registered training organisations to provide practical information to support business improvement and compliance practices. My name is Mel Hartley from the Training Accreditation Council, or TAC, and today I'm joined by Claire Werner, one of our TAC auditors. Claire is an expert in the field of training and assessment and the standards for RTOs. Today she'll help us navigate the topic of equivalence and how it applies in the VET environment and how awarding credit ties in with this. We hope this podcast will assist in understanding the requirements in the standards for RTOs and how RTOs can meet these requirements. Before we commence, I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on, the Whadjuk people. We wish to acknowledge and respect their continuing culture and the contribution they make to the life of this city and this region. Hi, Claire, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Mel. Thanks for having me. This is an important discussion because it's something that's not well understood by the sector. And when we get it wrong, it can have really significant implications for the integrity of training and assessment in the VET sector.
Claire, can you please tell us what does equivalence mean in the VET sector and when do we use this term?
Equivalence in the VET sector is an important concept, and equivalence means exactly what it sounds like. If we looked at a definition in the dictionary of equivalence, it will say the fact or state of being equal in value, function, amount, meaning, or importance. In the VET sector, we're asking how alike or equal are these two things that we're comparing? And we do that comparison in two situations. The first is when a training package goes through a transition process and training package developers compare old and new qualifications and units to determine if they're equivalent. The second is when we're talking about a trainer and assessor's vocational competence, and we compare the units of competence and experience that person has to the unit that they're delivering and assessing to determine if they hold equivalent competencies.
In each of those two different situations, how is equivalence determined, and are there any guidelines the sector uses to make these decisions?
Training packages are incredibly important to Australia's national VET system because they define occupational skill standards in units against which training and assessment of competency can take place. All RTOs train and assess against that same standard. They also tell us about the combination of units that have to be held to be awarded a qualification. Now, the reason this is so important is that it enables national recognition of the vocational outcomes of learning. If someone presents a qualification to us, say a Certificate 3 in Engineering Fabrication or a Certificate 4 in Training and Assessment, we all have a very clear picture of what that person knows and what that person can do. Training packages are developed through a process of national consultation with industry and change over time as industry's needs change. When a training package is changed, the developers are required to determine the equivalence of units and qualifications in accordance with a policy called the Training Package Products Policy. This is one of three documents that form the Training Package Organising Framework. The other two documents are the standards for training packages and the training package development and endorsement process policy. And you can download all three of those documents from the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations website. So that's DEWA. When the training package developers say new qualifications equivalent to a superseded qualification, it means that the occupational outcome or the AQF level described by the two qualifications hasn't changed. When the training package developers say a new unit is equivalent to a superseded unit, it means that the work outcome described by the two units has not changed. Now, the second situation is where we're talking about the competency of an individual trainer and assessor. Our standards at Clause 1.13 say that trainers and assessors have to be vocationally competent. For us, this means that the trainer and assessor holds the unit that they're delivering and assessing, or they prove that they hold equivalent competencies. This will again trigger a comparison process, where we look at evidence to decide that they know everything that they need to know and can do everything that they need to be able to do to be able to deliver and assess the new unit. TAC also has a fact sheet about vocational competence that's a great reference if you're looking for more detailed information and examples about this process. What is incredibly important to acknowledge is that this is a process that only holds value within the RTO where the comparison happened. It doesn't result in any recognition or the award of a statement of attainment or a qualification. It's really a quality control process in an individual RTO.
Well, that seems quite straightforward. So why is it that RTOs are confused by equivalence?
Because there's a flip side, what equivalence doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that the units are the same for training and assessment purposes. And I think this could be one of the main causes of confusion. There can often be a number of changes to the unit and assessment requirements that require the RTO delivering the unit to review and update their materials for training, their resources, equipment, and assessment tools. Often the changes sit in the assessment requirements, and they add extra evidence requirements or specifications or conditions that substantially change how the RTO needs to train and assess. TAC's new fact sheet on training product equivalence has actually got some examples of this that RTOs can review.
Yes, it does. And that fact sheet has recently been uploaded to the TAC website for RTOs to access. Now that we are clear on what equivalence does and doesn't mean, let's talk about how equivalence affects practice in the RTO. Claire, where and when is equivalence used by RTOs?
Equivalence impacts a number of processes in the RTOs, but the most significant and common, there's three of them. The first is the training package transition, so when the RTO is changing their scope. The second is for credit applications from an individual learner. And the third is when they're determining the vocational competency of trainers and assessors. When the training package transitions, qualifications and units on an RTO scope of registration that have been determined to be equivalent will be updated automatically by their regulator. When qualifications or units are not equivalent, the RTO will need to apply to add the new units or qualifications to their scope and go through all of the normal review processes and then potentially an audit process as well. As we mentioned earlier, if a unit or qualification has been determined to be equivalent, it doesn't mean that there are no changes from a training and assessment perspective. So the RTO really needs to establish what has changed and what the impact of those changes are, and then update their training and assessment materials to address those changes. This will often also include the strategy documents, the marketing, and checking the trainers and assessors' qualifications. Establishing what has changed will most often involve a mapping process where the RTO is going to compare all parts of the old and new units to identify what's different and the impacts of those differences. It's a detailed mapping that can be used to help the RTO with the other two processes that we mentioned as well. The new fact sheet has got a worked example of mapping for the first aid units that's going to assist RTOs to understand this process.
Yes, it does. We should stress that the example provided in the fact sheet is not a template that must be used. It is just one example of how an RTO might do mapping.
Correct. Each RTO is going to have its own approach.
Okay. The other two processes you mentioned were awarding credit and determining vocational competence. Let's talk about credit.
Well, firstly, I want to establish that there are only two situations when an RTO can award credit. The first is if a student provides evidence of holding the current unit or module, and this could be with a statement of attainment or an authenticated VET transcript from the USI register. This is a straightforward process that is very common in all RTOs. The second is when a student provides evidence of holding the superseded equivalent unit and or module that reflects the current unit and or module outcomes. This can happen each time a training package goes through a transition process and the training package's developers determine whether the immediately superseded qualifications and units are equivalent to the new qualifications and units.
You mentioned the two situations that RTOs can award credit. A question that is often raised is, what if a person has an older version of a unit, say from two training package versions prior, and each of those versions has the old unit equivalent to the new unit? So in essence, you get a chain of equivalent units.
That is a great question, Mel. And a really important thing to remember is that when training package developers determine equivalence, it is only for the current unit and the unit that it immediately supersedes. Their determination of equivalence doesn't consider the units and or modules from versions superseded twice or more. So it does not consider the historical versions in your chain of equivalent units. It's not reasonable for RTOs to make the assumption that those units are equivalent to the current unit. The analysis hasn't been done by the training package developers. The Training Accreditation Council has provided advice to the sector about this in its fact sheet awarding credit. And that advice says that where an award of credit is sought for units and/or modules that have been superseded twice or more, the RTO must conduct a mapping process to confirm no gaps exist in the content and learning outcomes between the module and/or unit already attained by the learner and the unit and/or module for which the learner is seeking an award of credit. If there are no gaps, the RTO can award credit. Where a mapping process identifies gaps in the content or learning outcomes, no award of credit can be provided.
So to summarise, if a student holds an equivalent unit that immediately precedes the current unit, the RTO can automatically grant credit. If the student holds an equivalent unit that does not immediately precede the current unit, and a mapping or analysis has been done by the RTO, which determines that there are no gaps, then credit can also be awarded.
That's correct.
Claire, what happens if a student holds an equivalent unit which does not immediately precede the current unit and the mapping or analysis determines that there are gaps?
Well, if gaps are identified between equivalent units or modules that have been superseded twice or more, no credit can be provided. Instead, the RTO would consider undertaking a recognition of prior learning process or enrolling the learner in training that actually addresses the gaps that have been identified.
One thing we haven't talked about is when a student asks for credit where units are not equivalent.
Credit can't be awarded when versions of units or modules are not equivalent, but the RTO could undertake an RPL process with the learner. The TAC fact sheet recognition of prior learning will help RTOs interpret the requirements of Clause 1.8 and 1.12 in relation to this process.
Okay, let's move on to the last topic, equivalence as it relates to vocational competence.
What we're trying to do with vocational competence is establish that the trainer and assessor knows everything they need to know and can do everything that they need to be able to do so that they can train and assess the current unit. We also don't issue a statement of attainment when we're establishing vocational equivalence for the purpose of 113A. If we think back to what was said earlier, that for equivalent units, there can be differences that impact training and assessment, we have to find out if that is the case for our units. When an RTO is establishing equivalence for a trainer and assessor, even if the unit has been determined as equivalent by the training package developers, the RTO should establish if there were any differences that mean we need some more evidence from the trainer assessor or that we need to provide some form of gap training for them. In an equivalence process, this may be less formal than for RPL. For example, the trainer and assessor might do some form of job shadowing or some informal training to actually address the gap that has been identified. In most instances, RTOs are going to do that analysis by mapping the units to identify the differences. That mapping or analysis will be evidence that an RTO should keep and will contribute to how they demonstrate compliance with Clause 1.8 of the regulatory standards.
Thank you very much, Claire. And do you have any final advice for our listeners today?
Well, equivalence has very specific meanings in the vet sector, and we should all ensure that we understand this and we use equivalence as it is intended. If we do this, we can ensure that the integrity of our assessment system and the certification we issue is maintained. Please access the TAC fact sheets on training product equivalence. It has got a really detailed explanation and examples that will be helpful for RTOs to understand equivalence. The TAC fact sheet on awarding credit and the Training Accreditation Council's advice to RTOs also provide further clarification in this area.
Thank you for speaking with us today, Claire, and working through the concept of equivalence in the vet sector and how this applies to awarding credit. We hope this information has assisted RTO's understanding of this topic. As mentioned a few times throughout the podcast, further information is available in the fact sheets Training Product Equivalence, Awarding Credit, Recognition of Prior Learning, and Vocational Competence and Industry Currency. These are all available on the TAC website, wa.gov.au/TAC. You've been listening to TAC Talks with Mel Hartley and Claire Werner. Thank you for joining us.